Welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. On a visit to Listen, a season of sound art taking place in Frome in Somerset in the summer of 2019, I participated in an immersive geolocated audio piece called Walking Memories. The piece had been composed by Ralph Hoyt and Phil Phelps, two of the three partners who make up creative team SatSynth, who had been invited by a Frome oral history group to use hours of recorded interviews to create Walking Memories. Ralph and Phil, with their colleague Mark Yates, have been making located media since 2004. Their latest work in Frome uses a hugely modified platform they call SatSynth QR, and with which they compose spatial audio, as Ralph describes it. For the interview, I'm with Ralph and Phil in a car park in Frome, a sound pool within Walking Memories. The interview opens with me asking them both to explain a sound pool, and it's Phil's voice that you hear first. We're within something that you call a sound pool, is that correct?
Yes.
So would you like to try and explain what a sound pool is first?
It's an area kind of pegged out in GPS space where if your phone is inside, it knows to play a sound or a series of sounds.
Okay.
Exactly that.
So we're already picking up now that Phil may be the techie.
Yes.
And Ralph, you're the writer.
True, but what's really valuable to me is that all three of us don't have defined roles as such. We might have specialities, but I've always been a writer and poet who's been able to see how technologies can be used artistically. And don't forget that Phil is not just a code monkey, but that he's a musician in his own right and a creative in his
sound
own right.
Artist,
well, what's really valuable in SatSynth is the way our three specialities overlap and that we're a really good team together.
Yeah. Okay, now you three, Mark's not here, but you three have been doing this for a while. So you're the sort of granddaddies of located media.
The wizard gurus of located media.
Yeah.
And my gold-plated Mercedes is parked somewhere over there.
Okay. So when did it all begin and how did you come together?
Oh, my God.
What happened? We met because of the PRS New Music Award. We applied as SatSynth to do a project called SatSynth because we wanted to make a satellite-triggered symphony with Mark writing the symphonic aspects, Ralph writing the sort of operatic libretto aspects, and me coding it all together and doing weird sound art in between, gelled it all together.
And how long ago was that?
When was that?
Well, that was 2011, but don't forget that it goes back way beyond 2000. It goes back to 2003, 2004. Which was when I had the absolutely crazy idea of creating the world's first location-triggered audio player, as it was called then, with Hewlett-Packard for Mobile Bristol, and we're just about to be mown over by a Land Rover.
So when you picked this as a sound pool, you did this so that people participating in Frome Walking Memories might become a memory themselves.
So we picked it because there used to be a market in the Black Swan pub. It's now the Black Swan Arts Centre, and they used to have a market there.
So if someone comes to Frome now, they could download an app.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Frome Walking Memories.
Yep.
And one of these sound pools that they would encounter would be this market square. And can you just describe how you came across the content? Because I've had a bit of a walk around the area, tried out some of the sound pools which are dotted about, and then discovered that you were slightly constrained.
Yes, so the sound files came to us as interviews from an oral history group called Working Memories. They made a kind of self-published book where they interviewed, I think over a period of about 10 years, various people in Frome about their earliest memories of working working in Froome, their first job, and also a job that they had after that. And so they have an enormous collection of audio that they sort of just handed over to us and said, oh, as part of this Listen Festival, would you not like to make an app and do something interesting with this?
I know, by the way, you've got about 6 weeks to do it in.
Yes. Which we did.
So this market area that we're encroaching or encountering now was where they sold eggs
and small and livestock, rabbits, chickens.
And so you've got a mixture of oral stories told by people who actually worked in the market, sold eggs, plus a background bedded track of squawking chickens yes. and things like that. But your kit is a lot more sophisticated than that.
Just in the market, that's what you get. You get the sound of the market around you and the people telling the stories as if they're standing in the market with you. But if you go up the road just a little bit across the bridge, you get to the Singer's Foundry, where the sounds of various machines, as far as we can tell, at the locations of the machines in the factory, appear to come from those locations. So they're all around you. Yeah. And as you turn your body with your headphones in, the sound field rotates around you.
Ah, now this is the canny stuff, isn't it? It's not just a simple commentary as we follow a route round through. No. There's loads more to it. Yeah. So you've got all these sound files, but how did you actually kind of construct the platform and create work with this platform? So this platform allows you to imagine that you could, I think you said, Phil, it was orientation.
Yes, so that with the
spatial audio.
The location of your phone and the orientation of you within the sounds that we place in the landscape. They influence what you hear, but also how the motion sensors in your phone, they also influence. So there are some parts of the soundscape where a sound pool will play one thing if you're standing still and another thing if you're moving. And yet another thing if you're moving in the opposite direction.
And also clever stuff like some sounds are tied to a track which moves around the listener. So that if you can imagine a sort of an odd-shaped track running around you in space, the sound travels along this track, and as it approaches you, it gets louder, and then it disappears. And you hear it going around you, and it comes over there, and then it comes back to you.
So the chicken, for example, does exactly that. It's running around.
Yes, so it's amazingly sophisticated spatial audio, as I said, which is truly interactive.
And it's also not just the orientation of you pointing north, south, east or west, but it's whether the phone is upside down.
Yeah, so whether the screen's facing the sky or whether the screen's facing the ground, that could also influence the sound.
And you're the man who's put this together, and that sounds quite a tough call. Anyway.
It's so, a little bit mad.
And what was the journey you took to get to that point?
Well, I really love modular synthesis, so I thought about the idea of sound sources running through sound processors, going through sound receivers, sources and sinks, that kind of thing. And I thought about the way that the telephone, the smartphone that you have just a load of sensors, a great big bag of sensors, with this wonderful kind of output device of sound. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if you could somehow influence and blend and crossfade and morph these sounds in some way? So I tried to think about, because I'm an academic as well, so I teach at UE Bristol. I thought, okay, let's break this down and think about all the possible sources, all the possible processes, and all the possible outputs, and just build the system to do anything with. So I've tried to be really comprehensive.
The impetus initially was working with Bournemouth University. We were commissioned to create the sound environment for Virtual Avebury, and that's when you really got hands-on with Unity 3D, wasn't
it? Yeah, so Unity 3D, the VR guys we worked with to do the Virtual Avebury, kind of virtual reconstruction of Neolithic? No, it must not be.
Yeah, 3,500 years old.
Yeah, sure. Monument there. But the VR guys were using Unity 3D, which I'd never used really in earnest before. And so I really got stuck into using that for making the sound environment for that, and sort of hit a brick wall, really, with what you could do with it, and thought, no, okay, we're going to have to tear this down and I'll make a proper audio system for it.
So the pair of you have been creating work where people walk through spaces and listen to things. Now, you could have just created stuff that people sat and looked at it or listened to it. So is there something that you really find inspiring with getting people to walk? Is experiencing their actual environment as well as augmenting it with sound?
Yeah, there are a number of phrases which have sort of stuck over the years. And one of those is the concept of the virtual auditorium, you know, and the auditorium is not within a concert hall or a building. The auditorium is outside. And in this virtual auditorium, the way you negotiate it influences what you hear. That's been really important to us. And the other is, for me, really, is the idea of, because I'm a word person, you know, the idea of composing into a landscape is absolutely fascinating, you know. Just, it's not a production tool, it's a compositional tool. You're composing into a mapping technologies and all the rest of it, which I've always been fascinated with. So it's a real combination of all these things and a way of using, I don't know, I often say, oh, why the hell am I still working with this stuff? Let's go on to something else. And then I do a walk and it's just sort of something compelling about being in a place and having content which is
about that place.
And also the idea of serendipity. You don't really, you control it. You control it in a sense by the way you move around it, but you don't quite know what's going to happen. And I really like things where you don't quite know. And Phil is very fond of things which break and make weird noises.
Oh, I love the happy accidental glitches. Yes. Or just really complex and surprising systems that are just so complex they become chaotic.
And playing on that boundary. And the other thing which has always fascinated me is, because I'm a word person, as I said numerous times, what's the boundary between words and music? With this technology, we're playing with that as well, especially when we're working with Mark, for example, and his very...
asynchronous music.
His asynchronous music, and how does that... When does that morph into words? When do my words morph into music? Mix that up with... The idea of negotiating this whole music, words, landscape in real time. And you've got something which, I can't get away from.
When we were talking about what we could do if we had our own platform, and of course now we do, that we were all a little bit frustrated that we love sound, but that sound is annoyingly kind of experienced over time, and we wish we could get rid of the time aspect, the kind of the linear aspect of sound.
Yeah, get rid of
so
the
if
linear.
We could just make it like it existed in another dimension, like space.
But what you've created here is a stumble upon. It's not the route that people particularly follow. It's just that they stumble upon it while they walk through parts of room.
I think one of the things is what we just had a discussion about in the roundhouse here in Froome is how much direction should you give people in order to experience one of these things. And as we've seen, there's a sort of range of opinions on that, from people who want to be told exactly what to do and people who just want to wander around in it. People's personalities differ. Some people want a lot more information, and some people want the art as the art.
But it's always tricky when you're making this stuff to ride that balance. Like you said, there are certain types of people who want a story told to them, and there are certain types of people who just want to explore. They're explorers. They want to find the things that you haven't thought about, or look under that tree and see if there's a sound there too. I think it is possible to design every sound pool to have enough for everybody.
Because I think what you've achieved is amazing.
Yeah.
And I think there's, you know, like everything else, there's huge opportunity to change it. And, and you know, we all know this, we're never quite sure it's quite complete, is it? We're going to kind of tinker with a bit more.
It's the creative streak in all of us.
We're going to tinker it with a bit
more. There's another brushstroke to add.
Yeah. So, okay, so what next?
Yes, what next?
Let me ask you both individually.
Yep.
Okay, so Ralph, what next would you imagine or would you really like to be working on?
Something we in SatSynth have been talking of for quite a long time, actually, with Mark, which is mobile immersive opera. And now, of course, we're calling this the Appara. I've been feeling frustrated about this for a number of years because that addresses what I'd earlier been talking of, you know, interface between music and words, and includes the mapping elements, includes the locative media, immersive media, includes all our talents.
Yeah.
Now, at the moment, we're a bit frustrated because Mark is doing a PhD in Leeds at the moment, has no time for shit like that.
But when he's done, we want to make
an APRA. And it's really valuable that we now have SatSynth QR, which has all these possibilities, you know, for libretto writing, for contemporary classical music, which is Mark's bag, for weird noises, which is Phil's bag. yep. You know. So
okay, the APRO. So he's going to go off and write a libretto, and God knows what. What are you? Is that your enthusiasm?
I want immersive sound worlds. I want either kind of electroacoustic or acoustic sounds that are blending around you. Like, there's a spot on the Willow Vale on this walk where you can brush against a wind chime. And as you spin on the spot, you also kind of like scratched paper really close to a microphone, very quiet. So as you spin on the spot, you get this kind of grinding, scratching kind of sound. And as you walk back and forth, you get this tinkling, jingling kind of sound. I want that, but everywhere. And sort of smoothly blending across, like Squarespace for sound.
Okay. Don't forget the continually modulating sound environment.
That's it. That's the continuously modulating
sound. That's the continually modulating sound environment.
We're going to turn around 180 degrees or whatever, because we're walking back now. I often ask my interviewees to recommend a couple of walks, but maybe you could recommend a couple of immersive experiences that maybe there's one that you've made yourselves or one you really like yourselves.
Is Ghosts in the Garden still on in Bath?
I'm not sure. Yeah.
It would be a shame if it isn't, because that was fascinating. You turn up and they offer you a box with a smartphone inside, but they don't tell you that. They say, "Oh, we've been excavating and we found what looks like an old kind of radio device, like steampunk radio device, and it's making noises occasionally. Why don't you see if you can figure it out?" And they send you off into the garden, and then they send you on quests and explore this Victorian pleasure garden. I absolutely love that. If that's still on, that is essential.
All right, and one of your own work?
But do you want one of our own, then...
Romancing the Gibbet?
The what?
Romancing the Gibbet.
Oh, Romancing the Gibbet. Yes. Yeah. Romancing the Gibbet with the University of the West of England, Regional History Centre, which set, they're called crime scene executions. So in the late 18th century, early 19th century, they sometimes had the extraordinary practice. They had these were extraordinarily theatrical events where a murderer would be hanged as near as possible to the site of the murder as possible, and then quite possibly gibbeted after that, which meant they were coated in tar or sometimes in honey, and then put in an iron cage and hung on the top of a 30-foot pole till they rotted away. So pretty
that's
nasty
like a visual
event.
Metaphor. This is what we do to murderers, and we've caught the bastard, right?
We got the bastard. So I've written a series of... I've been working with Professor Steve Poole at UWE for a number of years now on romancing the gibbet variations, and the latest one is as a series of located walks. So you go on a sort of dark tourism murder trail which follows some of the tracks of the murder, but is entirely poetical. So what I'm really asking is, it's a meditation on what evil is. What is evil? In each, it's a different poetic voice, and you can follow it. And we're doing it for the Being Human Festival in November. So that's an interesting one.
Okay, well, thank you, gentlemen.
Okay, thank you.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. In this episode, you've heard from Ralph Hoyt and Phil Phelps from SatSynth. If you have any views on this interview or any walking issues, we would love to hear from you. Just follow the links on the Talking Walking website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes of Talking Walking. Recorded and produced by Andrew Stuck of Rethinking Cities Limited, our artwork is designed by Ian Martin of Aardvark Graphics, and the music is composed by Simon Sanders of Easytronic.